ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so yesterday we were hearing about the problem of the demigods and the demons, that because the demons had Sukracharya, had the Sanjivani mantra, then they were able to always defeat the demigods, because the demigods would kill the demons and then he would bring them back to life. So this was a problem. Right? So then they turned to Brihaspati's son, Kacha, and asked him that he go and learn from Sukracharya, and by learning from him, then he can get this mantra. Right? And they said the way to do it is by behaving very properly with Sukracharya's daughter. Right? Because whatever she wants, then the father will do. So then, naturally then, if she appreciates him, then if any problem comes up, she'll get the problem solved, right? Okay, and I mentioned here that by doing that, they're going to gratify Devyani with conduct, liberality, sweetness, and general behavior. It means you're very kind. It means whatever they want, you give. You know, you don't judge it. You know what I'm saying? You're very liberal. You know, they want some flowers. You don't say, well, why do you need flowers? What are you going to do with the flowers? They want flowers, you get flowers. Right? They need something, you just get it. Does that make sense? So that liberality then will be, she'll find very, very nice, right? Sweet means always the dealings are very proper. Brahman here, very powerful, right? Brihaspati's son, very powerful. But his dealings with her will be sweet, right? Doesn't matter how strong the man is when he deals with the women, he always deals gently. Does that make sense? So that's what's interesting. Men have to be powerful, but they deal gently, right? Some think to deal gently, then you have to be weak. And if you're powerful, why would you deal gently? But both of these are miss the point. It's power gently, right? The worst is having no power and being rough, right? And general behavior, just general behavior is very nice, proper, and everything like that, right? Does that make sense? Always considerate and all. So it says, through dealing like that, then you'll be able to get this knowledge, right? The demigods already know. The son of Brihaspati, thus solicited by the gods, said, so be it, and went where Vrishaparvan was, right? Why Vrishaparvan? He's looking for Sukracharya. Why would he go to Vrishaparvan? Yeah.
Because Sukracharya is in the court of Vrishaparvan.
Yes, because Sukracharya sits in the court of Vrishaparvan. Remember, Vrishaparvan is one of the big asuras, right? He's one of the original, you know, sons of Kasyapa, and I think Diti or Danu. I think he's the son of Danu. Kacha, thus sent by the gods, soon went to the capital of the chief of the asuras and beheld Sukra there. And beholding him, he thus spoke unto him, accept me as thy disciple. I am the grandson of the Rishi Angiras and son of Brihaspati. By name I am known as Kacha. Thyself becoming my preceptor, I shall practice the Brahmacharya mode of life for 1,000 years. command me then, O Brahmana. A thousand years. The Vedic was, its standard for humans is 12 years. That meant 12 years they went to the school, studied under the teacher. They, at that time, didn't go home. Right? They just spent the time in the ashram studying that. That was their vrata. Right? The Brahmacharya is known by finishing his vrata or finishing his study, or both. Best is that he's finished, if he finished the 12 years and he finished all his study. Some may finish their study early, so therefore they leave early. Or some may finish the 12 years but not have finished their study. Right? And someone who didn't finish either of them, then they don't even count. They say there's three kinds of brahmacharis, right? There's four options. Could be he didn't finish his study or his term, you know, or his vrata, but they don't even count that, right? So here, he's taking a vrata for 1,000 years, right? That he'll stay there. And then from that, he'll study. Of course, his main study is to get this Sanjeevani mantra, like that. So he only has to get one mantra to finish his study. Yes. Sukacharya, here, and he says, command me then, O Brahmana, right? So that means that when you're told what to do, he doesn't. He doesn't think why I should do this or why he's telling me. Yes?
Why you said there are four kinds of brahmacharya?
I said there's three.
Why is that counted?
So we only count three.
Let's know which one is.
Huh?
Which are the three brahmacharyas?
We just said. Those that finish the study and their vow, that's the best. Those that finish the study but not the vow, because they finish the study earlier, that's second best. Those that finish the vow but not the study, that's third best. Means they're nice guys, not so smart. The other guys are smart, but then, you know, they leave early. And then the ones that don't finish the vow or the study, those ones are kind of like you give them a miss. Right? Like that. At least the girls should give them a miss, right? Sukacharya, hearing this, said, welcome art thou, O Kacha. I accept thy speech. I will treat thee with regard, for by doing so, it is Vriyaspati who will be regarded. Right? Now here, these two are enemies. Right? Vriyaspati and Sukacharya. But enemies here doesn't mean that they don't appreciate the other's good qualities. Right? They know the other is powerful. The other has so many qualities. Right? And that's being respected. Though they just personally don't like each other. Does that make sense? So, Brihaspati is a bona fide Brahman, Sukacharya is a bona fide Brahman, here Kacha is a bona fide, and so therefore the process goes on. Does that make sense? Like the parent, don't like the parent, and still it works, because there's a mutual respect, right? It's a Western thing, because you don't like the person, therefore you don't deal properly with them or this or that. We see the Vedic, even if you don't like, you still deal nicely. Right? What's another example of someone who they didn't like somebody else, but they dealt very properly? When Arjuna came to visit the Kauravas' tent. Okay? And you? What were you going to say? Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhana. Well, you see, Yudhishthira would deal nicely, but Duryodhana may or may not. Generally, he would. There's another very, very big one, yeah? Jarasandha. That one. He knew they had come to kill him. Yeah, we're your enemies. We've come here to kill you. Even how we came into your kingdom, we came in a mimical way. And he says, fine, be my guests, you know? And put them up for so many days, and in the evening they would sit together and enjoy the, you know, the music and dancing and nice food and entertainment like this, and then and during the day they would wrestle with the intent to kill each other. Right? So that's culture, right? But that makes, now, to be able to do that, what do you have to have? Humility, another thing, yeah?
Sense control.
Huh? Tolerance, yeah. Then why would you do this? Based on what? Where have you gotten the idea anyway?
Sensitivity.
And then where would you have what is the authority for behaving like this?
Guru Sadhu and Shastra.
Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Okay?
So they came as your guest?
They came as your guest, yes. But I'm just saying that's based on Shastra. Right? So now if you put all those qualities together, right, that mean those, by those qualities, Jarasandha or Yudhishthir or the others could do their duties, or here Sukracharya could do their duties as Grihasthas. Right? So their duties are something else, but they're able to do it because of these qualities, right? These qualities, whose occupation is that? Brahmins and
Kshatriyas.
No, but that's not their duty to be humble.
Brahmacharis.
Okay? This is starting to click. You're starting to see the connections here. Right? Right? So to that degree that you can gain those qualities, to that degree you'll be successful. You understand? You understand? It's not an arbitrary thing that some rishis sat down around a bonfire and then thought to themselves, what could we do to harass the students the most? What could we do that would just annoy them no end, and then this way we would, we're old guys, we can't do anything anymore, we can't enjoy our senses, we can't do anything, and these young guys, sporty and this and that and full of energy and youth, what can we do to just completely mess their lives up? And then somebody goes, hey, I got it, Brahmachari life, we'll make them into students, and they'll have to be sense controlled and menial servants, and follow someone else's authority, and be nice to all living entities. And the other sage says, yes, that's it. The youth hate that. That'll be the best way we can get back at these young guys. Right? Is that what happened?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
Okay. Then we can understand that they did this because this is the best thing. Right? And to do the opposite of that is not considered good. Right? It's not progressive. Right? It's just like, let us say you want to start a business. Right? And in starting this business, then a senior businessman tells you, first thing you have to get some capital. Right? Capital means some initial money. And you have to invest that in your product. Right? And making all the arrangements to start your business. Right? And so, would you say that that person who followed that advice was smart? Or the person that says, what's this nonsense? I'll just go straight into business. Why I should do all this setup with capital and investment and buying stock and all that? Who would be the smart one? The first one or the second one? Why? Okay, so then, if you want to be happy in life, right, then would you just jump straight in? Or would you prepare yourself? Yeah. Make the investment. Get together your capital, which is austerity, sense control, knowledge. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Then you can do. And if you don't want to get involved in the material sphere, then if you want to remain a brahmachari, what qualities do you need?
Sense control.
Sensitivity.
Austerity.
Do you see? Is there a similarity here? Right? So that means if you want to be a Naistika Brahmachari or you want to be a first class Grihastha, the training is exactly the same. No difference. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. No difference. Okay? So we see here, Kaccha is such a qualified student. Sukra is such a qualified teacher, right? He even taught Bhishma, right? And at the same time, as being a Brahmin, he's able to give that. Even if his enemy's son, he doesn't care. Even if he knows that he's coming to get this mantra, it doesn't matter. He's a qualified student, he teaches. Alright, does that make sense? Katya commanded, Vaishrampayana continued. Oh yeah, and he said that also here is I treat you with regard, and by doing so I treat your parents, your father with regard. Right? So that's there. So that means the parent dealing how they deal with their child and gives regard to the teacher. And the teacher, how they deal with the child, gives regard to the parent. Does that make sense? So if there's improper dealings, means you're actually disregarding those persons also. Does that make sense? Katya commanded by Kavya, or Ushanas himself, called also Sukra, then said, so be it, and took the vow he had spoken of. And O Bharata, accepting the vow of which he had spoken, at the proper time, Katya began to conciliate regardfully both his preceptor and his daughter, Devayani. Indeed, he began to conciliate both. And as he was young, by singing and dancing and playing on different kinds of instruments, he soon gratified Devayani, who was herself in her youth. Right? So, hey, strange here. It didn't mention he just stood around on the corner looking cool, and that way he gratified Devayani. Weird, isn't it? I mean, it's against all modern concept of how you please the ladies, right? And O Bharata, with his whole heart set upon it, he soon gratified the maiden Devayani, who was then a young lady, by presents of flowers and fruits and services rendered with alacrity. Right? Alacrity means like with carefulness and thoughtfulness and like that. Right? And Devayani also, with her songs and sweetness of manners, used, while they were alone, to attend upon that youth carrying out his vow. And when 500 years had thus passed of Kutcha's vow, the Donovans came to learn his intention, right? Means the Donovans in general. They figured out that this guy's here to get the mantra. This is after 500 years. And having no compunction about slaying a Brahmin, right? The demons, they don't care. They became very angry with him. And one day they saw Kutcha in a solitary part of the woods, engaged in tending his preceptor's kine. What's kine?
Cows.
They then slew Katya from their hatred of Brihaspati and also from their desire of protecting the knowledge of reviving the dead from being conveyed by him. And having slain him, they hacked his body into pieces and gave them to be devoured by jackals and wolves. And when twilight came, the kine returned to the fold without him who tended them, right? Cows will just come back in the evening to where they, you know, the day they go out, and the back they come, when the night they come back. And Devayani, seeing the kine return from the woods without Katya, spoke, O Bharata, unto her father thus, the evening fire hath been kindled, right? What's the evening fire?
Yajna.
Yajna. Not to make tea? No, okay. Yeah, evening yajna. The sun hath also set, right? Means when the sun sets, does it immediately become dark? No. So that time when the sun sets and it's still light, and that's that time, that's Goduli, when the cows come back, that's when the evening yajnas are done, that's when Gayatris are chanted, that's, right, it's a very important time. Okay? The sun is also set, O Father. The kine have returned without him who tendeth them. Katya is indeed not to be seen. It is plain that Katya hath been lost or is dead. Truly do I say, O Father, that without him I will not live. Sukra, hearing this, said, I will revive him by saying, let this one come. That must be his mantra. Then, having recourse to the science of reviving the dead, Sukra summoned Katya, and summoned by his preceptor, Katya appeared before him in the gladness of heart, tearing by virtue of his preceptor's science the bodies of the wolves that had devoured him. Right? In other words, he came out from their bodies, so it from their stomach, so it ripped their bodies, it killed them. And asked about the cause of his delay, he thus spoke under Bhargava's daughter. Indeed, asked by that Brahman's daughter, he told her, I was dead, O thou of pure manners, burdened with sacrificial fuel, kusa grass, and logs of wood. I was coming towards our abode. I sat under a banyan tree. The kind also, having been brought together, were staying under the shade of that same banyan tree. The kind... The Asuras, beholding me, asked, Who art thou? They heard me answer. I am the son of Brihaspati. As soon as I said this, the Danava slew me and hacked my body into pieces, gave my remains to jackals and wolves, and then went home in the gladness of heart. O amiable one, summoned by the high-souled Bhargava, I, after all, come before thee fully revived. Right? But notice, this is a Brahmin speaking. Oh, what happened to you? Oh, I was bringing firewood and everything, and I was tired, and I sat under a banyan tree and called all the cows, and we were all sitting there. Then the demons came, and they asked, Who was I? I said, The son of Brihaspati. So they killed me and cut me up into pieces, fed me to wolves, and now your father, you know, has chanted the mantra and now brought me back to life, and now I'm standing here before you. Any other questions? Right? This is Brahmins, right? You can always tell in here, right? The others then say, oh yeah, and then I was there, and then they came, and then the mood that they had, and then the anger, and the froth out of their mouth, and all these things like that. Then that's like you go, ooh, like that. But Brahmins is just straight. Oh, is this that? And then that's what happened. You know, they killed me, fed me to wolves. Oh, you understand? Because there's no attachment. Right? They just do their duties, and that's the fact. That's what happened. That's truth. Right? It's just straight. The emotions aren't there, this, that. They may have said, oh, you must have been afraid. Oh, yes, a little bit was afraid. You know, like that, or, you know. On another occasion, asked by Devayani, the Brahmin Kacha went into the woods, and as he was roving about for gathering flowers, the Danavas beheld him. They again slew him, and pounding him into a paste, they mixed it with the water of the ocean, right? So pieces, he came back. This time, we make him into a complete paste and just put him in the ocean. Right? Very thorough, right? Very thorough. Finding him long still in coming, the maiden again represented the matter unto her father, and summoned again by the Brahmin with the aid of the science, Kacha appeared before his preceptor and his daughter, told everything as it happened. Then slaying him for the third time and burning him and reducing him to ashes, the Asuras gave those ashes to the preceptor himself, mixing them with his wine, right? They figured, well, they put him in the ocean, so we put him inside the preceptor, then, you know, that's it. They can't, you know, he's not going to chant the mantra, kill himself to take Kacha out, right? So now we've gotten rid of him. And Devayani again spoke unto her father, saying, O father, Kacha was sent to gather flowers, but he is not to be seen. Right? He's not saying, why did you send him to get flowers, or this, or that, you know? It was said, oh, okay. You understand? These are just natural relationships, they go on. And so then, it's not a matter, oh, if you hadn't sent him for flowers, he wouldn't have been killed. Because that doesn't matter, right? Someone's supposed to die, they die anyway. You send them for the flowers, you don't send them for the flowers. They're going to... Does that make sense? And Devayani again spoke unto her father, O father, Kacha was sent to gather flowers, but he is not to be seen. It is plain he hath been lost or has died. I tell thee truly, I would not live without him. Sukra, hearing this, said, O daughter, the son of Brihaspati hath gone to the region of the dead. Though revived by my science, he is thus slain frequently. What indeed am I to do? Right? Means I keep bringing him back to life and the demons keep killing him. What am I supposed to do? Is this just, you know, a daily activity? You know, he goes out to get the flowers, you know, we have to bring him back, you know, and then he goes out again. Devayani, do not grieve, do not cry. One like thee should not grieve for one that is mortal. Thou art indeed, O daughter, in consequence of my prowess, worship thrice a day during the ordained hours of prayers by Brahmanas, the gods with Indra. the Vasus, the Ashwins, Asuras, in fact, by the whole universe. Is she, anyone's heard anywhere? Is she somebody? Is she worshipped in the Gayatri? It is impossible to keep him alive, for revived by me, he is often killed. To all this, Devayani replied, "Why shall I, O father, not grieve for him whose grandfather is old Angiris himself, whose father is Brihaspati, who is an ocean of ascetic merit, who is the grandson of a Rishi and the son of a Rishi. He himself too was a Brahmacharin and an ascetic, always wakeful and skilled in everything." Wakeful, skilled, not sleeping, lazy, bozo, useless, nonsense. Okay. Right? He was a Brahmacharin, he was a Rishi, right? Not saying, "Oh, he looks so nice, he was so cute, oh," but he's the son of a Rishi, he himself is a Rishi, he's a good Brahmachari. As a Brahmachari, he's wakeful, he's very skilled in everything. Right? She could have said, "Oh, he looks so cute in his Levi jeans." Did she say that? No. "Oh, his cargo shorts and his funky DNKY t-shirt." Did they say that? No. And of course, what is it? The police sunglasses. Okay. "I will starve and follow the way Kacha has gone. The handsome Kacha is, O father, dear unto me." Now she mentions it afterwards. In other words, as the qualifications, then is handsome. That's a plus. Right? But more important is the qualities. Then based on this, this comes. Okay? Vaishampayana continued, "The great Rishi Kavya, then afflicted by what Devayani said, cried in anger, 'Certainly the Asuras seek to injure me, for they slay my disciple that stayeth with me.'" Right? So here that she is saying, you know, "I can't go on without him, so I'm going to fast to death." Right? He has died, and so if he's going to be dead, so I'm going to fast and follow that way. Right? So then now the father is taking it in that kind of emotional way. It's, why do the Asuras, I'm their guru, he is my disciple, why do they bother me by killing my disciple? Right? They have a problem with Brihaspati, but that's between them and Brihaspati. Why am I involved in this? Right? Because even though he's serving the demons, they constantly make his life miserable, right? They constantly do this, like that. These followers of Rudra desire to divest me of my character as a Brahmin by making me participate in their crime, right? They want to kill a Brahmin and want to make me to take part in it. "Truly this crime hath a terrible end. The crime of slaying a Brahmin would even burn Indra himself." Having said this, the Brahmin Asukra, urged by Devayani, began to summon Kacha, who had entered the jaws of death. But Kacha, summoned with the aid of science and afraid of the consequence of his preceptor, feebly replied from within the stomach of his preceptor, saying, "Be graceful unto me, O Lord. I am Kacha that worshipeth thee. Behave unto me as thy own dearly beloved son." Vaishampayana continued. Sukra then said, "By what path, O Brahmana, hast thou entered my stomach, where thou stayest now? Leaving the Asuras this very moment, I shall go over to the gods." Right? So how did he get in here? I'm out of here. I'm going back to that. Demons are too much. Okay. Kacha replied, "By thy grace, memory hath not failed me. Indeed, I do recollect everything as it hath happened." Right? By the grace of his guru, he's able to remember how it happened, so he can tell it, because he's want to know, how did you get to my stomach? Right? "My ascetic virtues have not been destroyed. It is therefore that I am able to bear this almost insufferable pain." Right? So by austerity you can tolerate pain. Right? So then the more austere one is able to be, the more one is able to tolerate just the material energy, right? Because it just gives you problems. O Kavya, slain by the Asuras and burnt and reduced to powder, I have been given to thee with thy wine. When thou art present, O Brahmana, the art of the Asuras will never be able to vanquish the science of the Brahmana. Right? So he's saying, put him in the wine. But you being a Brahman, you'll always be able to defeat them as Asuras. Right? Hearing this, Sukha said, O daughter, what good can I do to thee? It is with my death that Kaccha can get his life back. Right? So he's saying, now, what should I do? Means, oh, we can get Kaccha, I'll die. Right? Or you have me, and you lose Kaccha. So something's gotta give. Right? It is with my death that Kaccha can get his life back. O Devayani, Kaccha is even within me. There is no other way of his coming out except by ripping open my stomach. Devayani replied, both evils shall, like fire, burn me. The death of Kaccha and thy own death are to me the same. Right? The death of Kaccha would deprive me of life. If thou also diest, I shall not be able to bear my life. Right? Then Shuka said, O son of Brihaspati, thou art indeed one already crowned with success, because Devayani regards thee so well. Right? Means you have gained your thing to get the mantra because Devayani regards you. At the same time, also you see is when one has the well-wishing of chaste women, then one is successful. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's there. The father is protected by the daughter, by the wife, by the mother, the son by the mother, husband by the wife. Right? You know, brothers by sisters. Right? You have in India this thing where they do the, what's it called? Yeah, where the sister ties, you know, this kavacha on the brother to protect them. So this is what's been going on here. Because he's a brahmachari in the ashram. So then he's dealt with like a brother. Right? And so then, so that there. So relationship with their brother, relationship with their father. So then she's protecting them, and at the same time, it's very important for her. Then Sukha said, O son of Brihaspati, thou art indeed one already crowned with success, because Devayani regards thee so well. Accept the science that I will today impart to thee. If indeed thou not be Indra in the form of Kaccha. Right? In other words, if you're Indra that's come as Kaccha, I'm not giving you the mantra. You know, your history. But if you're actually Kaccha, I give you the mantra. Right? Because Kaccha is a Brahman. And so, one, it's worthy. He's a disciple. It's not a deception. He is a proper Brahmachari. He is from good background. And because he's a Brahman, he will revive Sukra back, even though he's the enemy. He's the Acharya of the enemies. Right? But if it's Indra, then Indra will just take the mantra and walk off. Right? None can come out of my stomach with life. A Brahman, however, must not be slain. Therefore, accept thou the science I impart to thee. Start thou into life as my son. So right now he becomes his son because he's born from him. Like that. And possessed of the knowledge revived by me, and received from me and revived by me, take care that on coming out of my body thou dost act gracefully, right? And you coming out, you should revive me, right? It's his decision, so naturally you have to take that risk. You must trust. So then he's doing that, right? Because he's a Brahmin, then he figures that. Vaishampayana continued, receiving the science imparted to him by his preceptor, the handsome Kaccha ripped open his stomach, came out like the moon at evening on the 15th day of the bright fortnight. Okay, so what position is the moon in on the 15th day of the bright fortnight? Purnima, yeah, full moon. And beholding the remains of his preceptor lying like a heap of penances, Kaccha revived him, aided by the science he had learned. Worshipped him with regard, Kaccha said unto his preceptor, him who poureth the nectar of knowledge into one's ears, even as thou hast done unto those of myself, who is void of knowledge, him do I regard both as my father and mother. and remembering the immense service done by him, who is there so ungrateful as to injure him? Right? So means he, by coming out, he is, Sukracharya has died, so how could he injure him and leave him in this condition? Because he has given him knowledge, so he's like both his mother and father, so therefore he must do good for him. They that have acquiring knowledge injure their preceptor, who is always an object of worship, who is the giver of knowledge, who is the most precious of all precious objects on earth, come to be hated on earth and finally go to the regions of the sinful. Means that if you don't deal properly with the preceptor, then others on earth just won't like you, and eventually you'll glide down. So technically speaking, the preceptor who gives you this kind of knowledge then is more respected than the mother and father, right? The mother and father can never be disrespected, right? You see, even Prahlad Maharaj, whose father was, you know, A-class demons, right? But he would always deal with them nicely, respectfully deal with them. He didn't necessarily agree with him because he was non-devotional in his approach, right? But he, how do you say? He would deal properly. So the mother and father always dealt with properly, and the preceptor. And the preceptor who gives one the proper knowledge, trains one, then that's even greater than the mother and father, because he is like the mother and father, because he gives you birth into human life, into spiritual life. Does that make sense? The mother and father give you birth into animal life with the idea that you'll become human, right? But it's the preceptor who does that. So then that's there. Someone who's just giving some general knowledge or that, but is not like training, then it's a different thing. Then the mother and father are more respected. Though, as a teacher, he's still respected. Does that make sense? So in that case, just general knowledge, the parents, mother, father, are more respected than the general teacher. But the teacher who trains one actually in life science, in Krishna consciousness, then they are more respected than the parents. You understand? Okay. Vaishampayana continued. The learned Sukra, having been deceived while under the influence of wine, and remembering the total loss of consciousness that is one of the terrible consequences of drink, and beholding too before him the handsome Kacha, whom he had in a state of unconsciousness drunk with his wine, then thought of effecting a reform in the manners of Brahmins, right? Now, he's thinking of all this, right? That how you become unconscious due to wine, and how he was deceived by the wine, and how because of this, then Kacha, who's such a nice person, then got into such difficulty, and himself into such difficulty. So now he thought of how to reform the Brahmins, right? The high-souled Ushanas, rising up from the ground in anger, then spoke as follows. The wretched Brahmana, who from this day, unable to resist the temptation, will drink wine, shall be regarded as having lost his virtue, shall be reckoned to have committed the sin of slaying a Brahmin, shall be hated both in this and the other worlds. I set this limit to the conduct and dignity of Brahmins everywhere. Let the honest, let Brahmanas, let those with a regard for their superiors, let the gods, let the three worlds listen. Having said these words, that high-souled one, that ascetic of ascetics, then summoning the Danvas, who had been deprived by fate of the good sense, told them of these words, right? So he now has cursed the Brahmins who drink wine, right? That they will lose all their virtue and everybody will disregard them, right? It's said that the one, as soon as the wine reaches the stomach of the Brahmin, technically he's no longer a Brahmin. It's that strong, Sukracharya's curse, right? Kshatriyas, Vaishyas drink wine, they don't lose their caste. They become degraded, but they don't lose their caste. Right? But Brahmin is immediately, they're not Brahmins anymore. Right? So now, after having cursed the Brahmins that they shouldn't drink, now he calls all the Danavas. Ye foolish Danavas, know ye that Kacha hath attained his wishes. He will henceforth dwell with me. Having obtained the valuable knowledge of reviving the dead, that Brahmana hath indeed become in prowess even as Brahman himself. Vaishampayana continued, Bhargava, having said so much, cut short his speech. The Danavas were surprised and went away to their homes. Kachatu, having stayed with his preceptor for a full 1,000 years, then prepared to return to the abode of the celestials after having obtained his preceptor's permission. Right? So he calls the Danavas in that, you so much wanted to not get the mantra, but because of you, he got it. Right? If you had just left him alone, why did he need to give him the mantra? He would have stayed for 1,000 years with him and not got the mantra. Right? The mantra is not part of the contract. You teach a Veda, you teach some other body of knowledge. Did you see him ever ask him for the mantra? No. So therefore, he would have gone the full 1,000 years, gone home. But because the demigods know the demons and they'll try to kill him and all this stuff, and they're clever, so they'll think out a way, okay, wherever we put him, he can bring him back to life. But we put him inside the preceptor, you can't bring him back to life. Aribal, right? Because he's dead, so he can't bring him back to life, so he won't kill him. You know, so he won't do that. But they didn't understand that Brahmins work on a different platform than the demons and others. Right? That honestness, that openness, they're able to function. Right? So then he told the demons, now leave him alone, he has the mantra, so, and no need to kill him because he'll get the mantra and he's going to stay with me. And so he stayed until the end of his 1,000 years, and then with the permission of the teacher only, then he left. Right? Does that make sense? He didn't just sneak off at 4:30 and that and go back home. You know, he took permission from his teachers. Right? Vaishampayana said, oh, okay, this is section 77. Vaishampayana said, after the expiry of the period of his vow, Kacha, having obtained his preceptor's leave, was about to return to the abode of the celestials, when Devayani addressed him, saying, O grandson of the Rishi Angiris, in conduct and birth, in learning and asceticism and humility, thou shinest most brightly. So even the ladies like humility, right? That idea that you got to be tough, mean, cool, they like humility. It's not that. It's real humility. Thou shinest most brightly. As the celebrated Rishi Angiris is honored and regarded by my father, so is thy father regarded and worshipped by me. Right? So my father regards your grandfather, and I regard your father. O thou of ascetic wealth, knowing this, listen to what I have to say. In other words, know that because I respect them and all that, and from our family, so you should listen very nicely to what I say. Recollect my conduct towards thee during the period of thy vow, Brahmacharya. Thy vow hath now been over. It behooveth thee to fix thy affections on me. Oh, accept my hand duly with ordained mantras. Right? So she's saying, recollect your time during your vow. I always behaved as a sister. I always did everything fine. Right? I never crossed any limits, did anything improper. Right? So therefore, recollecting that, then now you can see how religious and properly behaved I am. Therefore, now you should turn your affection to me and marry me. Right? Because I did this, you know, just for you. You had a vow. I wanted you to keep that vow. And so therefore, then I assisted. Right? Kacha replied, thou art to me an object of regard and worship, even as thy father. Right? Because the daughter... it means the father is respected, therefore his daughter is respected. So he's doing all of that. We remember in the beginning, they said worship her and Sukra. So Sukra you do by following his order, doing the different thing, it's awe and reverence, it's formal. But she as the daughter, then they're living like brother and sister, then the worship is doing things for her that a brother would do for a sister. Right? That's his regard for her. That's his worship. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise one may say, well, he didn't worship her, he was just singing and dancing and picking flowers for her and making nice conversation and making her happy. But that's how you deal with them. Right? So that was how you worship them, how you regard them. Right? It doesn't mean formal drive. No, that's the guru or the guru's wife. But then even then it has the motherly aspect. So this is sister, so it's even more kind of informal. Does that make sense? Oh, thou of faultless features, thou art indeed even an object of greater reverence. Thou art dearer than life to the high-souled Bhargava. O amiable one, as the daughter of my preceptor, thou art ever worthy of my worship. As my preceptor Sukra, thy father is ever deserving in my regards, so art thou, O Devayani. Therefore it behooveth thee not to say so. That means what she was saying. Hearing this, Devayani replied, thou too art the son of my father's preceptor's son. Right, so she's saying that you also, Angiris is the preceptor of my father. Right? In other words, Angiris' son is Brihaspati, right? And Sukracharya is the disciple of Angiris. So in the same way is that Sukracharya is means Brihaspati, you're the son of Brihaspati, and Sukra is your guru. So he says in this family line, that's just the way it is. Right? We're each disciples of each other. So it's not that's not an unusual thing. Therefore, O best of Brahmanas, thou art deserving of my regards and worship, because you are the grandson of my you are the grandson of my father's guru. So that means I am the grand disciple of Angiris and you are the grandson of Angiris. So in the same way as you regard me as the daughter of my guru, of your guru, in the same way you are the son of my father's guru. So that's just the same to me. So we're equal on that term. So he was saying that no, you're superior to me because you're the daughter of my guru. But she's saying, no, we're equals because you are also respected by me. So in this way, we both have mutual respect for each other. Therefore, we can still be husband and wife. Right? Because you don't want one being the wife being higher than the husband. Right? Therefore, O best of Brahmanas, thou art deserving of my regards and worship. O Kacha, when thou wert slain so many times by the Asuras, recollect today the affection I showed for thee, remembering my friendship and affection for thee, and indeed my devoted regard also. O virtuous one, it behooveth thee not to abandon me without any fault. I am truly devoted to thee. Right? So meaning, I have no fault. Means if she had a fault, okay, of course you can abandon. She has no fault. She behaved properly. She is behaving properly. The relationship is proper. Therefore, then you can't just abandon me. Hearing all this, Kacha said, O thou of virtuous vows, do not urge me into such a sinful course. Right? O thou of fair eyebrows, be gracious unto me. Right? In other words, be gracious means understand this and let it go. Otherwise, if you're not gracious, you'll get angry and then so much problem will come up and everything like that. So, therefore, we see in relationships grace or liberality, kindness is very important because you let things go. You're forgiving, you're understanding. That's graciousness. Right? So he's seeing in here that them being married would be a problem. It would be improper. He's not just trying to get out of it. Right? Because in the family things, what's the problem? Right? They're qualified, this and that. They're all from the heavenly planet. So there's no fault there. So it's not a political reason that he's not wanting to marry her. Beautiful one, thou art to me an object of greater regard than my preceptor. Right? Because it is through her that he's gotten the mantra. And because she's the most important thing to the preceptor, so that makes her important to him. Right? His preceptor is important to him. What's important to his preceptor becomes important to him. Right? Does that make sense? Full of virtuous resolves, O large-eyed one, a face as handsome as the moon, the place where thou had residest, namely the body of Kavya, hath also been my abode. This is his point. Right? In other words, if he hadn't come through the body of Sukracharya, then he wouldn't see it as sinful. But he's saying, you're from Sukracharya's body, I am also. So that makes us direct brother and sister, not God brother, God sister. Right? Does that make sense? if that incident hadn't happened, then he would say, yes, we can be married. But because they're both from the same father, then he's saying, I can't marry you because we're brother and sister. Right? Thou art truly my sister, right? Not just saying you are my sister by mood, because that's what it was before. As a brahmachari, she was like the sister, right? But now he's saying you actually are my sister. Amiable one, happily have we passed these days that we have been together. There is perfect good understanding between us. I ask thy leave to return to my abode. It means we've had a perfect time together. We perfectly understood each other as brother and sister. Let that remain. We'll go on having that relationship. Right? So naturally, you know, as a brother, he'll always be there to help and assist whatever the sister needs. Right? That's what brothers do for sisters. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what you do for your sister. Therefore, bless me so that my journey may be safe. I must be remembered by thee when thou recallest me in connection with topics of conversation as one that hath not transgressed virtue. Right? You should always remember, you know, in your discussions that Kachu was virtuous, he didn't transgress virtue. Right? Always attend upon my preceptor with readiness and singleness of heart. What does this mean, singleness of heart? Anybody? Singleness of heart, yes. Yeah, devoted only, or focused. Means when you're doing the service, you're doing that service. You're not thinking of something else. Yeah? That's singleness, right? So singleness of heart here, we could say, would mean that it's actually, that's what you want to do, right? If you say single-mindedness, that means it's focused. So its intelligence is there, and maybe others. But if you say singleness of heart, that means that's what you want to do. Okay? To all this, Devayani answered, solicited by me, if indeed thou truly refuseth to make me thy wife, then, O Kacha, this thy knowledge shall not bear fruit. Right? So she's not being gracious. Right? She's cursing him that if having asked you to be my husband, you don't, then this knowledge you've got, you won't get the fruit from it. Hearing this, Kacha said, I have refused thy request only because thou art the daughter of my preceptor, and not because thou hast any fault. Right? Nor hath my preceptor in this respect issued any command. You know, if the preceptor himself said, please marry my daughter, then it's ordained by Guru, then it works. But since he hasn't, then, you know, this is not becoming. Right? The proper thing she would have gone to her father, said, I would like to marry this boy. Right? Then the father would have approached. Right? Does that make sense? But otherwise, here she's making her own arrangement, so it's basically working now on the principle of Gandharva. Right? Though it will go back into one of the higher forms, but it's starting from there, rather than starting from Prajapatya. Right? So therefore it has some fault to it. Well, if she'd done it the other way, and told her father, I can't live unless I marry this boy, and now he's finished his vow, then Sukra would have said, you got to marry her. And if you don't, then I'm going to curse you. And then, like that, right? So, therefore, you know, her impatience here, in one sense, then made it turn out this way. Curse me if it pleaseth thee. I have told thee what the behavior should be of a rishi. I do not deserve thy curse, O Devayani, but yet thou hast cursed me. Thou hast acted under the influence of passion and not from a sense of duty. Therefore thy desire will not be fulfilled. No rishi's son shall ever accept thy hand in marriage, right? Means because the whole thing, you're the rishi's son of, grandson of Angiris, son of Brihaspati, you know, this is what I want to marry, right? But he's saying because you're acting out of passion, not out of duty, otherwise you would have understood, right? You wouldn't have had me as your husband, but you would have accepted some other great rishi. But because you're not accepting the conduct of rishis, therefore you won't have one as your husband. Now you understand the importance of the story? Right? Why? What was the question before this?
How did she get married to Yayati?
Yes, how did she get married to Yayati? Because the discussion is Yayati. And actually the discussion is all the kings in the Bharat line. Right? And that is actually based on some other question. You know, it's based on, you know, so. Thou hast said that my knowledge shall not bear fruit. Let it be so. He's accepting that because he respects her. So she's cursed him that he can't use the mantra. He's comfortable with that because she's his. He regards her with respect. It pleased her to curse him. He accepts it. But now he says, but in respect of him, it shall bear fruit to whom I shall may impart it. Now he is a Brahmin, has said that. That will come true. Right? Vaishampayana continued, that first the Brahmanas Kacha, having said so unto Devayani, speedily wended his way under the abode of the chief of the celestials. Beholding him arrive, the celestials with Indra ahead, having first worshipped him, spoke to him unto him as follows, thou hast indeed performed an act of great benefit for us. Wonderful hath been thy achievement. Thy fame shall never die. Thou shalt be a share with us in sacrificial offerings. So from this he also gets a share in the sacrifice. Right? So he did his duties properly. He was successful. By the grace of his gurus, then it worked. And so everything worked out properly. So we can see is in here now that attachment now of all this, everything was done all nice and everything according to all the rules, very sattvic and everything, but at two points in the story something wasn't sattvic. What were those? Devayani, how she asked, yes, and
the Asuras
murdering him. Well, that's another thing, but yeah. You understand? Means they murdered him, but how? But they murdered him so many times, he's brought back to life. Yeah, because of that attachment that they want to protect themselves, therefore they accomplish the opposite. Right? So you see in both these cases, because of the attachment, how it was dealt, the opposite came. So one has to be very, very careful. The problem is not the attachment. The problem is how it's done. Does that make sense? So attachment is the root cause of all problems. But that's only because it's used improperly. But attachment is also the cause of your success. Right? You're attached to Krishna, then what happens? Yeah, you're successful. Right? Attached to Guru, attached to the Vaishnavas, attached to the holy name. Right? You're successful. So attachment's the root cause of all problems. But that's only if attachment's improperly applied, not according to duty. Right? That's what Kacha said. You didn't proper the duty. Right? And also, if the Asuras had followed respect of the Brahmins, there wouldn't have been a problem. Right? But they didn't follow the duty. Right? Yeah?
Yes.
No, but at that time it wasn't against the rule. Wine wasn't illegal. That's there, but they are karmakandis. You know, the demigods and that, they are. So there's no fault, but he's saying that now this becomes a fault because Brahmins are supposed to be clear in their vision. It becomes clouded by wine, so therefore, you know, Brahmins can't take. Okay? So we'll continue tomorrow what happens in the heavenly planets. No, Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.